Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Personal perspectives, as against prophetic perspectives, as against doctrine. Please, there are different things and I want you to know them. Many of the things you'll be hearing today that we call messages, the messages we like, we watch online, they are the perspectives some people may have from maybe something they read in the Bible and it just blessed them. It's not necessarily scripture. But for some reason, that thing spoke to them. So you must understand that the word of God, the first way the word of God comes to us is by doctrine. Okay? So doctrine means that these are the clear-cut teachings of the scriptures that either Jesus taught us or the apostles taught us or the prophets in the Old Testament, they taught us. But doctrines are primarily New Testament. There are prophetic applications. For instance, this is a prophetic ministry. The Lord may tell you, "Oh, Joshua, take off your shoes, for the ground that you are standing on is holy." It's not a doctrine, but it's a prophetic instruction. When you may not really understand how that obedience to that instruction may push your life to the next phase until you have done it. So prophetic instructions many times are foolish, but because they are from the Lord, they are powerful. Then there are personal opinions and perspectives, which may just be a way a pastor or even yourself may choose to interpret a particular scripture. But it's just for you. It's not as weighty. The weight in the spirit realm is very low. It's just like saying gold and iron. Gold is heavy. If you keep it for 100 years, the value is there. Metal will rust. So I had a conversation with this pastor. There were two of them. And this pastor had raised some issues. So I decided to not answer the pastor by the way we pastors normally would respond, which is to defend what we have said. So what I did was I asked the pastor to give me just one scripture that opposed that particular statement I had made, and he could not provide a scripture. Then I told him, let me give you a scripture or two. Okay? So he was able to learn one or two things from that short meeting. I'm saying this because we are here now. And Satan will try so much to muddy the waters of doctrine such that anybody can just win a Grammy Award and go on stage and say, "I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, slow down. Which Lord Jesus? Because there are so many people claiming to. Jesus even told us, our Lord said, there will be many Christ. Huh? Then another question came up, which is going to lead me to my message today from the same pastor. Do you know what that question is? The question is, can a Christian be possessed by demons? The default answer of any Christian would be what? What? No! But that depends on where you are speaking from. Huh? A Christian is a person who has been born by the Holy Spirit. So a spirit is a... Please, are you with me? The title of this message today is How to Keep Demons Out of Your Life. fire. I've seen more than one pastor in this Lagos, more than one, who have personally told me that they watch our first service. They watch what we teach here, first service, before they climb the altar. Huh? You know what that means? I have to be careful with what I say. Huh? When Pastor Adeboye, Bishop Wedepo started turning the world upside down, they were my age. And now we are even in a digital age, which means I'm already too old if I'm not making impact. Please, are you with me? So a pastor asked me that question. The default Christian answer is what? No. A Christian cannot be possessed by a devil. Then the pastor added, a Christian can be oppressed. Is that not church language? Okay. So I will not answer that question here, but I will just... I want you to think. Because many things we believe or say, they are true to an extent, but not completely true. That which means you might get 8 over 10, but you won't get the full mark. Because when you ask a person, can a Christian be possessed by or filled with an evil spirit? And the person says no. That's like O level. Because when you talk about man, you are talking about three compartments. Which compartment exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about his spirit? Or are you talking about his soul? Hello? No demon can stay in the spirit of a recreated child of God. A child of God who has been born by, because the Holy Spirit is already there. So when the soul, which is where all your carnality abides, your love for secular musicians and Game of Thrones, all those things you do, that the you that you know that most people have never met, the you that always wants to live alone in a house, I don't like staying with people because there are some things about you that, this is my own vibe. Eh? That you know that you I'm talking about. Please, you know that you I'm talking about. Eh? That you that likes our personal space. Please, are you happy? Because I'm even surprised guys are smiling. People should be angry by now. So I'm telling you, that other you, the soul, can be seriously influenced by demons. So the question is not whether you are filled with a demon or oppressed by a demon. The question is that somebody is being influenced negatively by a demon, whether from the inside or the outside. So let's look at what our Lord Jesus said. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43 to 45. I want us to look at the scripture, and I hope that this may be a blessing to as many people who see this message. Because I got a call from my brother, not my brother, he's a pastor, he's also a brother, who is a professor in the U.S., teaches in a university. And he told me, he said, the Lord showed me a vision about you, and I saw you in Asia. And he told me the two countries he saw me. And he told me, no, it's not Jack Paris. It's ministry. Because some people, okay, let me avoid the Jack Paris people today. But he gave me a few details, which I can't share here. Huh? And he was shocked about what he saw, because he wasn't even thinking about me when he had that vision. He had to call me and say, where are you? I say, I'm in Nigeria. I say, wow. Say, the Lord just showed me a very big vision about you. And he told me, this is how the vision will come. He told me, this is how the Lord said the vision will come to pass. So in case you see me in Asia, and so my pastor left us in Maryland. I didn't leave you. They told me I'm going to Pakistan. So you actually wish for me to go to Pakistan. You are not even thinking of Canada or see another or somewhere. Yeah, people should be nice, man. Yeah. Even if I say I want to go to Israel, no, Pastor, can God change it, move you to the US or UK or the UK or the abroad? Not all abroad is abroad. Amen. Some are mission feeds. Let's read Matthew 12. The word of God is beautiful. If you consider it with an open mind, you'll be amazed how much you can learn. Let's look at this. When the unclean spirit, this word unclean spirit, does it look like a demon? Does this mean demon? When a demon is gone out of a man, do you see the word out of? Out of, that means it was inside. Where do you think that demon was staying? Where was his residence? Huh? In that man's soul. This is a spiritual house. So give me that scripture. When a demon or an unclean spirit, and please also, if you want to use King James, you consider that character, that is the adjective now. What do you call that thing that describes that word unclean? Huh? Huh? Adjective. It tells you something about that spirit. That this spirit is only able to stay in that person because of an unclean environment. Are we together so far? Please, are you following me? Aha. He said, he go back. He walks, when this demon goes out, he walks through where? Dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Next verse. Then he says to himself, I will return to my... This demon talks to himself. These demons are very intelligent. They speak all languages. He spoke to himself and said, oh God, this means your new ministry is not working. There was somewhere you were having a good time before. That girl, Cassandra, go back there. That means demons consider human beings as houses. The Greek word, the Greek word, that word house, one of the interpretations for it is the word temple. House, habitation, temple. And the Holy Spirit taught us, he said, our body is what? The temple of what? The Holy Spirit. This is Jesus teaching us here. This is Jesus teaching us how demons take territories, how they secure their space, how you can deal with them. Give me that scripture. He says to himself, I'll return to my house from where when I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and what? That looks like somebody is cooking, a garnish. Okay? He says he finds it swept, empty, swept, and garnished. Verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits. That means his goal this time is to come back and not to be evacuated again. So this demon knows that there's strength in numbers. That the reason why he was kicked out was because he was operating alone. So he has applied scientific sense to this thing now. So he wants to stay here. He likes this place. He likes Cassandra or Bayo. Chike. Give me that verse. He gets seven other spirits more wicked. Can you see the characteristics? He is unclean. But these ones are what? More wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto what? This wicked generation. Alright. How to keep demons out of your life. Let's start from here. So the first characteristics we want to consider here is what makes it possible for a demon to find legitimacy in a person's life. Please, don't start the argument and say, oh, Jesus was talking to unbelievers. Please, don't say, demons find legitimacy. That means they come into a place and legally take over. And don't start the argument that, Jesus was talking to, he was referring to unbelievers. Did Jesus talk about unbelievers then? Did he talk about believers? He was talking about human beings. Are we good so far? I'm being slow and careful because I want you to process. A lot of Muslims go to mosque, remove their shoes. Christians come to church, remove their brain. That brain, God gave it to you so you can think. So when somebody is telling something that is full of lies, you can like, okay, that thing doesn't agree with my spirit. And you should not, don't just say it doesn't agree with my spirit. I have scripture for it. Because some people, nothing agrees with them. This thing Joe is talking about will affect anybody who violates it. Jesus started by telling us that this evil spirit had been cast out. He did not tell us by whom. But there was a deliverance session. Up till now, we still have people in the church arguing whether deliverance is even a thing. Huh? The owner of the church came and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. To what? To preach the good tidings. And in that list, there was deliverance. Say to deliver the captives, to set the captives free. Can you have any other ministry that is greater than the one your master has? You can't be more righteous than the one you are following. I'm not asking you to be demon conscious. I'm asking you to have authority. Please, are you with me? A lot of Christians know the doctrine of grace. They don't know the doctrine of authority. That's why on their own, they cannot take control of their lives. So, please note again, if you are writing, that what gives legitimacy to a spirit, an evil spirit, residing in a location is sin. That's the first thing. And it's the strongest. Uncleanliness. I'll come to uncleanliness and I want to separate it from sin. Okay? Paul was teaching us and he said that we must separate ourselves from not just the weight, not just from sin, but from the weight that easily besets us. So the problem with a weight is that it's going to weigh you down. You might have a reason, an excuse for this kind of vibe, this thing that you are doing. Because if you check a weight, most weights are not written in the Bible as sins. You may not see it anywhere where the Bible says don't smoke. All right? So it's something you can do. The only problem is that you have violated the law of preserving your temple. And can I also tell you, if you are happy and joyful that you don't smoke, but you consume loads of sugar, you are in the same category. You are still destroying that temple. So, but on the whole, you may be doing certain things and they may not be sin because they are not outright sin. But it makes it difficult for God to even invest in you. Because if you are loading your system with sugar, then they look at you and say, the way this person is consuming sugar and take some people 3 bottles of Coke or 2 every day, God knows that he cannot use this man for a long time. He will die. So God will invest his time and effort into somebody who thinks and lives healthy. A man was called by God many years ago and the Lord showed him a vision of himself and a donkey. And the Lord said to him, take care of yourself. No, he showed him the vision of a piece of load and a donkey. And the Lord said, take care of the donkey and the load. And the man entered into the ministry. It was the day he was dying, he knew the meaning of the vision. Can you imagine the Lord appears to you, calls you to the ministry, and you didn't know the meaning of your ministry until the day you are dying. And what was the Lord saying to him? You are this donkey. The load here is the work you will do for me. Take care of yourself, take care of the work. The man took care of the work. He didn't take care of himself. So he died. There was still some work to be done. But he died prematurely. So you have to think about this issue of weight. Because sometimes people come and say, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with me. I need deliverance. I need this, I need that. But if you ask them, they are not really committing any sin, as it were. But there may be some weight. There may be one or two things that may be oppressing them or something that they enjoy. And that thing, Satan uses it as a legal ground because it falls under the category of uncleanliness. Can we go on? So Jesus was saying to us, our Lord was saying that when a person comes to church and they minister to that person and the demon is cast out, most of the times what we do is that we rejoice that that person is free. But that is when the work really starts. I was preaching in Benin City, and the pastor of that church brought a lady to me whose parents were dead, and she lived with her grandmother. And the grandmother has about 300 idols that she worships in her house every day. She had a room, a special room, about 350 or so, idols. Like physical wooden idols. And every morning she would go into the room and worship those idols and pour oil and do obeisance. And in that process, she always mentions the name of that girl. As though the girl was part of the worship experience. This girl would never live a normal life until I came to Benin City. So by the time I came to the church, The pastor was like, oh, I need you to pray for this girl. And what happened was that when I started preaching, the moment I was, it was a vigil, by the time I started praying, the girl started prancing on the wall like a cat. I'd never seen it in my life. Very young, pretty girl. You see her, just, you know, she crouched like a cat and started as though trying to climb the wall. You understand? That was when the pastor told me that, please, oh, pastor, you help me pray. My problem is, you brought me all the way from my wherever I came, and you want me to do all this thing for you? Well, so what are you doing here? You cannot be a pastor if you are not anointed. It's not about anybody can preach. Anybody can go on TikTok. Good morning, fam, Insta fam, TikTok fam. I just want to say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to bless everybody seeing my post. No problem. Let's continue. If I do it, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you are, as a pastor, you are dealing with people's demons. And there are two levels of anointing you must know. Number one is the anointing that comes upon you by reason of your calling. There's another anointing that comes upon you by reason of holiness. The scripture says, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore the Lord thy God has what? Anointed thee with the, oh my God, the oil of gladness. That oil only flows when there's gladness and joy. Above your other fellows. That means, even though they may be anointed to minister, but you have another well, that in case there's a resistance, you can beckon on this one, because it comes from a string of holiness, only living. That one does not permit uncleanliness. That one, you will not look at your weakness and say everybody has weakness. You will want to judge it. You will call your weakness sin for you to be free. So Jesus said, when a man is being delivered from the influence of a demon, what happens in that church? Oh, let's rejoice, she's free. Maybe she was rolling on the floor here. And then she suddenly becomes free. Oh, Pastor Tay, praise God. People are shaking. Ah, congratulations. Jesus said what actually happened, that the demon went outside and started roaming around Lagos. And you should be praying that that demon should not remember your former house or where you live, because it's probably going to come back there when he started of roaming. Jesus told us, look, Jesus, this is not Paul. Jesus told us that demons roam. What would have happened to that demon is that in the process of roaming, if he finds another vessel, he enters. When I was young, man of God, you must have seen this thing. Where we will be doing deliverance, the demon will jump out of that person, jump into Abby, another person who was part of the prayer team. They will not leave that one, will not face. And 9 out of 10 times, there was sin in that other person's life. Please, are you with me? Have I lost you? Jesus said he wants us to understand how this thing works, and that when you cast out a demon, the demon begins to roam, looking for a place to rest. Please give me that scripture. That means, go to 43, 44. Quickly. He said he's seeking rest. That means, anywhere you find demons staying, they stay so long that they even become generational demons. Huh? It's because they have found something in that life that accommodates them. And only a power that is strong enough to throw them out. That's why you find that... Go back to that scripture, please. That's why you find that it takes a very strong power to throw them out, to push them into action mode. Now, do you remember the story where Jesus was passing by a graveyard? And do you know that story? And a man of the man of Gadara, who was filled with legion, is minimum of what? 3,000 demons, up to 12. That is how expansive your soul is. One person can accommodate as much as 12,000 demons. Huh? So you may be there with your roommate singing the band song. But in that your one room, you are not two people. You are 12,002 in that room. And you are cooking for two. Every time you cook for that person, you are cooking for 12,000 people. And that's why she's always hungry. All right, all right. But how many of you,
Okay, now that's on a lighter note. For somebody say, okay, where is that one in the Bible? I just tell you it's on a lighter note. But how many of you know friends, very pretty friends, that no matter, they are always hungry? Don't mention, just be looking straight. Be looking at me. Yes, sir. But we have friends like that. Some of them, if you don't finish eating your food before they come in, you will not even enjoy your food. It's a spirit of gluttony. Yes. A spirit that likes to eat. Oh, I'm a foodie. You have a demon. You have a demon. Some people even create TikTok channels on how they eat up and down. So I just want to do a vlog and show you. I'm eating this for the first time. I want you to know how it feels like. When you are through, come to Maryland. Let's pray for you. Gluttony, you eat. Even if that is bitter, they'll eat it. Most of the things we see and we just vibe and like to. But you won't know. People don't think there's a demon for food. So when you cast that demon out, the first thing you will feel is an emptiness. You may lose taste for food for some time. And you'll be wondering, oh, am I sick? No, the demon left. This demon will begin to go up and down. And for a while, the former host of that demon will feel free. When she sleeps, she sleeps well. When she wakes up, she feels wonderful. Did you observe that this particular person, even though he was delivered, was not introduced to any set of spiritual activity that he or she was supposed to be doing? The reason why the demons found that house so comfortable is because that house is always in a state of inactivity. There's nothing spiritual, there's no prayer, there's no meditation, there's no worship, there's nothing, there's no fellowship, there's no... Do you understand? Some people can take a Uber from Ojota to VI just to see one of their friends that just got back from the UK. They can't come to church with Uber. It's too expensive. They'll take a bus. Alright? So these are serious matters. Jesus is telling us this is how it happens. Alright? So he says, this demon, after roaming about, he gets tired if he doesn't find a worthy vessel. Because sometimes they see people, but they notice this one. It's not okay. It's not solid like the former house. That one's a duplex. This one is a self-contained. What will I do with self-contained? I need space. And demons like space. Now, let me tell you one truth about demons. Demons mean disembodied spirit. Disembodied. Do you know what disembodied is? Huh? Disembodied means spirits without bodies. So when you think of demons, think of thoughts. Think of what? Thoughts, feelings, premonitions. They are persons, so they are spirits, they are legal entities. But they have nowhere. So they're always looking for where to stay. I hope somebody just heard what I said. They can't express themselves the way they will love to because they don't have bodies. But they are real. They are living things. But they don't have bodies. They can live in animals. Have you seen, for those of you who used to keep dogs, like when I was young, we had, like my dad used to keep lots of dogs. We had as much as 15 dogs in my house. 15. Sometimes 20. When I lived in the north. Yes. So even if you're a demon, it's my dog that will visit you first. If that dog now fails, if you cannot defeat 15 at the same time, then I will come out and use my anointing. You must be a real thief to come to your house that has over 15 dogs. Outside dogs, those ones are not well. If you see. Even their back is a real back. What is Ossetian? Come and see the kind of dogs we are talking about. So what are we saying here? These demons, they can find expression in animals, but their best host is what? Human beings. And the legitimate angle they always try to explore is a life of sin. So there's nothing like, oh, I'm sinning, nobody knows. What else did Jesus tell us? He says when this demon goes round and he doesn't find anywhere to stay, he will come back to see if that house, former house, is now occupied. That means in the spiritual realm, there is no room for vacancy. There's no room for what? For emptiness. There's no vacuum. Everybody, including all of us who are here, you are filled with one spirit or the other. And many of those spirits, because they don't want to trigger you, to let you know they are there, they will be quiet. They will be quiet. Some of you, you go visit some of your friends. On a very good day, you are a very wonderful person. The moment you go to this particular friend, you start taking alcohol or wine. Who has an idea what I'm saying? And it is, please, who understands what I'm saying? All of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm talking to you. Eh? You have this friend. Eh? The way you guys are really, and she may be a Christian, no? But every time you are with her, you behave in a particular way. All of a sudden, the demon in you finds it very comfortable to express himself. Then you chat to this person on the phone. By the time you are done, by 1 year, you're like, this chat of today, God forgive me, I plead the blood of Jesus. like it's as if you are on the phone with somebody, but it's as if you are in the same room. Who understands what I'm saying now? Thank you. So, these things are real. Demons operate as thoughts. That's why when somebody asks, can a demon live in a person? Based on the fact that demons are disembodied spirit, it is not an absolute answer to say no. Because the demon can live in your thought. And at certain times, you can become very lustful. How you will know it is a demon is that you will not be able to control it. Does this make sense? You will have those desires like, as though you should pick the call, your phone, and call Chike. Chike that you swore that you will never have anything to do with again. With your own hand, you will unblock him. Hi, Chike, how are you? I just thought to check on you. It's not you. Those things, they operate in a very strict. They wait for those moments when you are bored. When you are not doing anything. There's no light. All of a sudden, you remember Chike. And Chike will be online to respond. Now, when Jesus said the demon will come back, this is how he comes back. He's gone. But when he comes back, how does he register his presence? With a thought. Why don't you go out? Just go to the club, like karaoke, what do you call it? Just go, just go and have some fun, you know. Just take some Chapman. And Chike will be positioned there, waiting for you. Or Cassandra, or Linda. They will be there waiting. Demons do not operate directly. They use people. So when they come back viciously. Because now, we have 8 demons who have been kicked out from different places and they need somewhere to stay. They need a landlord. That's why the scripture says, do not give a foothold. Who was Paul talking to? Christians! Oh my God, is somebody listening? If I just tell you that a demon cannot live in a person's soul, you will say, Paul said, do not give a foothold. If you give a foothold, it will take over that body. A foothold is all they need. I said what? A foothold is all they need. Let me read a set of other scriptures in Matthew. What scripture did we read now? Matthew 12. Okay, let's read Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 11 to 20. I want to tell you how a Christian can become defiled. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Now, look at this. Look at this. This is very important. If I teach on this verse 11 alone, I will create a lot of problems in the body of Christ. Mr. Blog will pick me up. People will trash me if I preach on this Matthew 15:11 alone. Some of you will leave here and go and start eating and drinking things you've never done before. But I will just bypass because I'm a man of love today. I'm not a man of war. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man. Please, what do you know it is possible to eat something? You know, I'm teaching today. Do you know it's possible to eat something that upsets your stomach? And then for like a day or two, you are not balanced. That means that thing has defied you. But is that what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about spiritual defilement. As far as sin is concerned. Jesus said, but it is that which comes out of what? Out of what? The mouth, that what? That mouth there just means that any exit, any opening in your body by which, for instance, like the mouth, which can give expression to the thoughts of the heart, can bring defilement. Go ahead, next verse, quickly. Then came his disciples and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say this? So, there was a problem here, but I won't go to this aspect because that's not the focus. But when Jesus said this, the pastors were angry. Next verse. Because the Pharisees pride themselves in what they eat and what they do not eat as a symbol of holiness. Ah, we are the one that is righteous. And Jesus came and just threw the bomb on the altar and it exploded. Jesus said, every plant, see how Jesus came again, every doctrine, which my Father has not established, shall be what? Jesus made a statement. Some people resisted it, and Jesus began to declare prophetically. That plant is a strange doctrine. It was a response to what the disciples said. Next verse. Let them alone, they are leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they shall fall into a ditch. Next verse, quickly. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Quickly, move. And Jesus said, are you also without understanding? What was the problem in the life of the Pharisees? Why were they angry? They had no understanding. For many of us, all we would have done was to sit with our Bibles and go on a study. Because there are people who will pray for here and they will be free. 3 weeks later, they are back into the same thing. You need knowledge, not prayer. There are people you pray for. They roll and break chairs. That's why we fixed all these things here. So even before you fall down, you think of these ties. If your head hits the ties, you're on your own. We don't encourage people to break chairs here. Don't break chairs. We did it for the first 7 years of this church. This church is going to be 9 years, 1st of March. We are not breaking chairs again. your demon, but you must have a good explanation to break chair. You must have, because we are going to have that, because are you the one that was falling down? You broke 3 chairs. Come and see the pastor. Admin, how much is, he says it's 5-5. Okay, so first give us 17,000 or 16,000. Sit down. So why are you breaking chair. If you break, you pay. Give me my scripture. Are you also without understanding? Next verse. Do you not also understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth, where does it go? It goes into the belly and goes into the toilet. Next verse. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come from? You cannot say it is not from you if you said it. You cannot say it is not from you if you said it. It may either be a direct statement from you or from the demons in you or from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, those things defile a man. Those things defile a man. If you listen to Beyonce, you will need a lot of prayers. Because have you ever even taken some time to listen to, look at the lyrics? Do you know that there are covenant words in her lyrics? Oh, please, who has an idea? Because some people think I'm blind now. Pal, even you have grown, you have matured. May I check all those things? When you listen to the lyrics, you will see where they talked about selling their souls. They talked about blood. They talked about covenant. They talked about, you know, they talk about kind of, they twist scriptures. And when you look at it, I go on YouTube, you will see how people x-ray their lyrics. But for you, that's your role model. If we are considering you to be in the music team of this church, and you take voice training or consider her as your mentor, okay? So you before you join the choir, you go for foundation class. You need to work on your faith. But we don't want the spirit of Beyonce here. It's a serious matter. Jesus said that how will a man defile his spirit? Through the words that come from his mouth. Through the chats. Those are also in the same category. Have you ever chatted with somebody and you felt dirty? You felt like you had sinned? Who knows what I'm talking about now? Eh? Have you also chatted with somebody and you felt blessed and righteous? What's up? What's up? I'm like, wow, that's powerful. Ah, God bless you. God bless you. Those are communications. They come from the heart. Next verse. For out of the heart, let's look at the things that Jesus was referring to so that we will not be unclear as to how that unclean spirit was able to stay in that vessel. The unclean spirit in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, out of the heart, what's the first thing you find there? Evil thoughts. And this alone is a study, is a very compound and powerful word. Evil thought. Including those who are saying the enemy should fall down and die. Evil thoughts. Go back there. Evil thoughts. Everything you are looking at here, they are thoughts. So. Everything here. Murders. Do you notice that Jesus did not just say, oh, thoughts of murder? Because Jesus taught us and he said, if you have thought about it in your heart, you have approved that transaction, you have committed the sin. So, Jesus said murder, adultery, closely beside it is what? Fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Next verse. These are the things that defile a man. But to hit with hands that are dirty does not defile you. Do you know what it means to eat with hands that are dirty? You are coming from the farm. You saw your wife cooking. You just went to the kitchen. Bam. And your wife got upset and reported you to me. God said, you have not committed anything. Because what you ingested will only trouble your stomach, not your soul, not your soul, not your soul, not your soul. That one, we will give you an antibiotic. You'll be fine. You see, this other one can destroy you. People will not even know you are dead already. But you'll be sitting in front in church. So, what, unfortunately, we are already out of time. So, this now calls for serious meditation. The emphasis of these scriptures is not about demons. Our Lord is trying to tell us how to stay on top of the game. Because the moment you begin to do something relevant for God, Satan will be looking for a way to bring you down. And he does that by looking for legal entry points. So that even when you cry, like Job, and ask for help, they will tell you it is the thing that you feared the most that came upon you. I hope you know that was the thing Job said. Say, the thing I fear the most. So that was what Satan used to bargain and deal with him. And I've been thinking of this thing. Hey, do you know there are people that are not married and they're already thinking that, hey, what if I marry and my husband dies suddenly? Oh. Are we together? Hey, what if I don't have a child? You have not married though. It happened to me. We agreed to wait for 1 year. After 6 months, I said, I heard somebody say, my own pastor, say that they waited, that he thought they were waiting. He didn't know that he didn't even have what it required to impregnate a woman. He didn't know. But they thought they were waiting. But something is not there in his body. There's something missing. So when I heard that, then my boss, who is an allergy, also said the same thing. It's as if they didn't, you know, it's like conversations I had at different places started coming back within my first 6 months as a married man. So I just sat around there. I said, so this one that we say we want to wait for 1 year, you know, we've cut it for 8 years. That, okay, now we need to take time and make up for lost time. That, if what if I'm not actually waiting? What if actually, kusin kokombe? Like, I will never be a father. What if? And I went online. And that's where somebody said, oh, you should be eating lots of carrot. See, Satan will lead you where you don't want to go. I did not know that my wife knows about that carrot thing. I went to the market, chattered plenty carrot, washed it, sat down. You know, the carrot thing was not even so sweet like that. I just put it on the table. I started eating carrot. My wife passed. What's wrong with you? I say, I just feel like eating carrot. My wife said, you dey fear me. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? She said, I know what is wrong with you. I know what is wrong with you. That was the last day I went back to that man. I didn't know she knew. I thought it was just my... So, please, brothers, these women, they know things. So don't even play that game. They will catch you. I taught my wife, because I always tell a very spiritual person. I didn't know she knew that it is what men are told to do. So for me, it's good to be healthy. I didn't say this count is too much for somebody who is trying to be healthy. And she caught me red-handed. It was later I opened up that I'm afraid maybe this thing will not work the way we are planning. Bottom line, we did not reach that 1 year. I did not wait again because we needed to move forward. If you want to keep demons out of your life, protect your thought life. That's one of the strongest points they will use to get into your life. And your thought life, once it is invaded, excuse me, the chambers are open. The issue about, you know, having a holy thought life is more than the issue of just trying to be a Christian. God is trying to protect you on different layers, body, soul, and spirit. There's the holiness of the heart. There's a purity of the soul. The purity of the soul is in your thought life. And let me tell you how this thing works. And don't try to be a hero, because Satan has been playing this game. He went to the woman in the garden and said, look at this thing. The moment Eve looked at the fruit, the Bible said it was beautiful in her eyes. They've been in that garden for years. She never saw the thing as beautiful. The moment somebody, it's like this whole jackpot thing. Some people didn't think about it until their friends said, what are you seeing in Nigeria? Then they started looking for money that was not missing. You want to borrow money from me that I'm not going? I should give you money to go. Now, so they go. Eh? Me, I should stay, but I should help you go. I don't have money. I just pay my house rent. I want you to see the strategy. Satan will never tell you sin against God. He will just give you a picture. That picture, will come to you in at least three areas. The first thing, it comes as a thought. The second thing, it comes as a feeling. The moment it comes as a feeling, your emotions become involved. That's why you are involved with certain people in your life. Even though you don't want to be, you find yourself going back to them. There's a soul tie. You can have a soul tie without committing fornication. Yes, that's what I found out. Some people think it's only when you've sinned against God. No. This eye gate. Oh. This eye gate. I went to this shopping mall at Ilukpeju here. And I saw a very young girl. Slim, very pretty, young, dark lady. And she just kept looking at me. As I was paying, she would go, come back, look at me. Me, I even thought maybe it's somebody that, maybe from church, you know, or something. I think church must have been around. But, you know, I just felt like Then she left the guy she was working with and came to me. Said, for some reason, I'm just staring at you and I feel I should know you. I asked her, how old are you? Like 25 or 26. She just finished school. See, I just, like, I don't know you, but my heart is open to you. Like, in a romantic way. Yes, that's what she said. Now, if the guy talking to me was a very ugly person, it would have been easy. But the fact that she was even bold, that really impressed me. I was impressed. Like, wow. See, please, can I have your number? I work in this engineering firm here. Wow. I gave her my number. I have to be honest with you. I gave her my number. So it's not a pastor thing. You have to be careful. You need more caution than zeal. You can be swept off anytime. That's why the Bible did not say, let those that stand should be careful. Say those that think, they stand. You see, these things in the mind. The moment the thought, you begin to think you are standing. Okay, that means you are alive. Okay, be careful. You are thinking it, be careful. At some point, Sha, I had to stop going to spa. Because that was the only way. That's the only way. I could not bind her. I did not want to bind her. I did not feel like praying against her. I did not feel like praying against her. I didn't want to talk to God about it. I just enjoy the fact that someone is going to come to me and she sees you young, me old man like me, like that. It's good. So don't even play. Don't play with Satan. He will mess you up. Please say your thoughts. Your emotions, your knowledge bank. So when Satan wants to come into your space, he will secure at least three areas. There are about five areas, but he will secure at least three to get considerable hold. The moment he presents that thing to you, it comes as a thought. If he sees your initial response that you like it, he will mount pressure. The moment he sells that, an emotional idea of that thing to you, and please, this message is not to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just telling you the anatomy of sin and how you can rise above it. Are we together? So if I make you feel bad, that's not the goal. That's not the goal at all. The second thing is that it will give you an emotional attachment to that process. The third thing is that you will develop a knowledge base around that thing. You begin to develop, how I can be involved in this thing without getting burnt. How I can, everything about that process, you start knowing it. Your mind has accepted the whole process. Once you do that, the chambers are open. The first set of demons that will come into your life will be very quiet and they will be there for years. You won't know. You have to be very careful. So when you are being prayed for or you go to some place for 3 weeks deliverance, 7 days, you fast and prayed, this process must be explained to you. We have expunged the spirit, but we must now make sure the soul remains clean. And the only way to make the soul remain... Please, excuse me. This brother that the demon was cast out of, was the deliverance genuine? Most likely, even if the person was not a Christian, but from that day he must have become a born-again Christian. Yes or yes? But they said he was empty. So where is that emptiness? In the soul. Please, are you with me? That emptiness is not emptiness of spirit again, because he has been delivered. But in the soul, the faculties of that man's soul, God has not taken ownership of it. That's why no matter what you do, some people, they will remain poor, even if you give them $1 million. Because poverty sits in their soul. The thought of poverty sits in their soul. Money cannot change it. It's a renewal of the mind. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence. If there's something you should be diligent about, it is what? Place a protective edge. How do I do that? If Jesus said, that through the thoughts that I think, I can become defiled? Does that mean through the holy thoughts that I think, I can become purified? So you say, whatsoever things are what? Pure. And what? Huh? Noble. And what? Of good report. What should we do? Think on these things. That's how to keep your deliverance. That's how to keep yourself in a place where demons cannot have power over you. It's in your thought. Think on these things. That means there is a prayer angle and there is a thinking angle to your deliverance. But most times you come to church, we just pray for you and they'll tell you, you are free. Go in Jesus' name. That's one part. The second part is that we must now secure your thought life. This is the one that Paul said to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we must continue to renew our minds daily. Because your authority will only be to the degree of your renewal of mind. There are things God will not be able to commit to you if your knowledge base says no to him. Somebody blessed. So this is where the work is. This is how to keep devils out of your life. If you can keep the unholy thoughts out, the devils can't come in. Even if your doors are open. Let me tell you what somebody did. When he realized that he had problems and he could not get over the issue of women. I'm sorry to say, but this is what the person did and it worked. Should I tell you? This is for brothers only. And for sisters, you can also use it for brothers too. The brother will look at ladies when maybe on the street. You know what he tells himself? Say, women are overrated. Christ is more. Christ is more. Women are overrated. Say they're overrated. Say they're overrated. Say they're overrated. They're overrated. No big deal. They're overrated. Christ is more. Christ is more. Christ is more. I said, you'll be crucified if they hear you say this thing. He said, no, what's there? What's there? What's there? Everything I package there. What's there? Everything. Christ is more. Christ is more. Christ is more. And all those demons in his head will start. They'll be quiet. They'll be quiet. Because he knew that every time he goes to the office and he sees the way they package and they say, oh boy, I cannot be a Christian this week. I cannot be a Christian. Eh? See Nifemi, see Kemi, see Shade, see Shalewa, see Rukiat. Say they're overrated. They're overrated. Nothing, nothing, nothing. They're overrated. Christ is more. Christ is more. Christ, you're speaking it out. Speaking it out. By throwing the words in the air, the other voices started becoming quiet. Started becoming quiet. Started becoming quiet. It's not self-righteousness. It's warfare. You are quiet, they will sink you. You can use it if you have one brother, Chike, or Ifanyi. Not those Ifanyis. Ifanyi, Bengas, Femi, Shegun. Eh? Yomi. Eh? David. Dave. Huh? Sean. Nigerian bearing Sean. You can see you have a problem. Nigerian bearing Sean. You will not give you visa because of that one. Adrian. You need deliverance. Adrian, you need deliverance. What is the key? What? Keeping a pure thought life. Please, we might still need to go back to some of these things at some point. But this is a general overview. I tested this thing. I told myself I will not think about certain things for like a week or two. And I realized that as long as I was not afraid of committing those sins, I did not sin. Most of the times that I had issues were when I felt like, hey, I'm not feeling spiritually strong this week. Hey, Cassandra is in the neighborhood. Hey. Anything you are afraid of, we have power over you. Fear God. This is the old duty of man. That's what Solomon said. After going for 1,000 people, he came back and said, fear God. That means if you have this fear of God, you will live above sin. So that fear of God must be ingrained. When you are renewing your mind and you are guarding your heart with all diligence, what do you guard it with? The fear of the Lord. There will be no Bible for Joseph. The day Joseph will be tested, there will be no Bible. Only your fear of God will go with you. So all of us who say we are Christians here, we must stop seeing our fellow sisters, brothers, as animals to be devoured. And sisters must stop seeing brothers as cows to be milked. We must take care of each other. Because there's somebody outside there trying to devour your sister, and there's somebody out there trying to devour your brother. And it may, you may be the one to tell him, bro, that lady likes you, stay away from her. The brother, they know, they see. He won't know. She brings you a cup of water. Next day, went on break, brought you one juice like that, brought you some fresh apples, brought you, and you did, only you. You can't see, but ladies know themselves. Say, brother Tunde, that girl likes you. Ah, no, she's just a friendly, oh, you are not wise. I said, that girl likes you. So we know ourselves. So we need to protect ourselves. Huh? Because Satan doesn't have as much power as he has wiles, tricks. And most of us will remember that the day we fell, it was because of some tricks. But with this message, you can rise. Hallelujah. You can rise. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far you are falling. You can become strong. Come on, say, I can become strong. I can become strong in the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. The armor of God is not a physical armor. It's a spiritual one. And go and read every one of those armor. They have to do with the word of God. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. Everything there is speaking about the word of God. The sword of the spirit, the word of God. The shield of faith is a product of the word of God. Believe me, leave this place today and don't be afraid of falling into sin again. Say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a mind of Christ that we must carry. Don't be afraid that, oh, maybe something will happen, you will go back to the world. You won't go back. I said you won't go back. What was it? Yes, you went back before, but from today you are not going back. So just look at the thing. The Bible is there. Just open it and just tell yourself, God, I receive grace to be a practitioner of these things. Because the other aspect people will now fall in is to try to do it in their righteousness. That's self-righteousness. If you try, you will fall. So when you hear a message like this, go back to God and say, Lord, I believe your word. Be it unto me according to your word. That's what Mary said. But there's no way she would have given birth to a savior without knowing a man. Let's pray. I want you to ask God for grace to keep a pure thought life. Ask him for grace.